When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The takeover does continue as we broadcast live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. All of our shows have been here all day long, and now we're here. Yeah. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening and hanging out with your boys. Guys, we're going to be here until 7 tonight, so come through if you get a chance. We would love to get a chance to see you. So many listeners already hanging out, Mike, with Andy and Randy. Obviously, it's Steaky. Earlier, the morning shift was here. Somebody told me they cooked breakfast for these guys, which is incredible.
I heard Mike Johnson talking about the bacon and steak. And, of course, Squid goes, I'm the meat man. But anyway, yeah, apparently that was great. And then Steak and Sandra. And there's a few spots at the bar, but I rolled in. Parking lot is nearly full. So we got a full house as everybody's kicking off the holiday weekend. And a lot of folks lucky enough to have a day off or half a day. So come on down, join the party.
No doubt. We do have a lot to chop up, guys. And Mike said it is a big weekend in so many ways. As the Dogs will await to see who they're going to play, the news that hit last night about Carson Beck. Listen, we suspected this would be the situation.
We're always giving like 1%, you know, maybe, just maybe. But it was kind of a fait accompli when he was going to play.
Well, I just didn't hear any positives coming out of Athens about this from the people I speak to. Nobody was saying he's got a really good shot. Oh, it's 75%. Everybody was like, wait and see.
And a second opinion never, let's be honest, is rarely what you're looking for.
Well, nobody's going to tell you what's wrong with you is not what's wrong with you. They right. may tell you what's wrong right. with you is not 100%,
right.
but it's still what's wrong with you. Either way, it's going to be Beck is not going to be there. And I think, Mike, this is a big deal. We talked about it a few weeks ago, but now that it's been confirmed,
right.
you got to believe and you have to say, okay, well, Georgia, can they get there? Can they do this with their quarterback situation? Because now, to me, this becomes the number one concern. We've seen the defense step up at times. We've seen the offense do what it needs to do. The run game has been solid at times. But now you're looking solely at the quarterback and saying, is this kid going to be good enough and Gunnar Stockton to get
right.
it done?
And I have a lot of Georgia fans asking us the question. First things first, let's see Georgia win another championship, get third natty. But a lot of folks are wondering, does Carson Beck come back? Because if this is an injury which is going to require surgery or whatever the treatment is, it's going to probably, and again, we're not orthopedists, we don't know where this is going, but you could argue it's going to preclude him from combine workouts, where the draft now is his stock is affected. So is it better for him to come back? And knowing Kirby's penchant for loving veterans with experience, I think he would probably take Carson Beck unless Gunnar Stockton comes back and reinvents the wheel offensively for Georgia. Now, his receivers, hope maybe they'll catch his passes. They can't catch Carson Beck's. But certainly you'd like to think that he's got a great shot. I'm still blown away. Look, I know high school is high school, college and pro is different. But his numbers coming out of high school are just insane. With 70 touchdowns that senior year. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of playmaker he's going to be.
Well,
with 3 weeks of prep.
If the explosive play, and I say if it returns or if it's frequent with Gunnar, then this offense is going to improve because that's really what they've been lacking right. consistently. They've had a few guys, but this offense hasn't been as explosive as we thought it would be, and mainly due, as we said, to the receiving core. Either way, that news is something we'll chop up throughout the course of the show. B-Mac's going to join us in less than 10 minutes here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we'll talk about what's going on in the National Football League. There is no bigger story than what's going on right here in the A. And everybody, again, around the league, and I'm telling you this because I talk to everybody around the league, they're like, man, what's going to happen this weekend? Is he ready? What are they going to do? Is he going to look different? They're asking the same questions we are, Mike. And the real thing for me is, you know, is he going to be asked to be a game changer? I don't think so this week. I don't think he's going to be a gunslinger this week. I do think you said it this week earlier, a couple of days ago. Just do what you've been doing. We don't need to do anything special with his first start against the New York Giants. Run the ball. Let's play stout defense. Get some turnovers.
Right.
And get out of Dodge and pick up a dub. Let him continue to gain confidence as he goes through the rest of the season. We only got three games left.
I'm surprised, and you know, because maybe we're too close to it with social media. 90% of the folks, I'm just going to give you a number, abstract number, that are so excited. Then there's still these holdovers for Cousins. And I talked to a couple yesterday at the end of the show, and we get it. They gave Kirk every opportunity. And it's funny because there's a huge difference between a basic offense with a guy you're not asking to do too much when it's his first start in the NFL versus a guy who's been the two-time NFC Player of the Week, and he's a 13-year veteran making buku bucks. But this is it's a sliding scale. One is different than the other. You can run the football on the Giants. They are aggressive, and they are really good at their blitz. But I think, you know, some things should be able to open up. I think people's expectations will be unrealistic. I think you got to temper it.
Yeah.
But who knows? As you said the other day, why can't this be cool? Why can't some things start to open up? Why can't Darnell Mooney's become non-existent in this offense after being the big piece?
Yeah, and look,
not to mention Pitts.
Pitts, but I am saying this now, and again, I'm not retracting anything about what I want from Pitts, but I will tell you that I put a lot of this blame now on Kirk Cousins. I mean, it's obvious that he was not seeing the field the way he needed, and that meant he wasn't seeing Darnell, and he certainly wasn't seeing Kyle Pitts. So as much blame as we say, why aren't these guys producing, specifically Pitts,
right?
I got to put a lot of that now on Kirk. Does Penix come in and see these guys, Mike? Is he seeing it and releasing it?
Hey, look, I still don't know what the tight end's supposed to be in the Zach Robinson offense because we can't quantify. You know, guys get mad at us. You're picking on Pitts. You're picking on Pitts. I just do think if you're looking for a guy who can check out easily, well, then have Kirk Cousins go through what he's going through. And
sure,
I think that's safe to say about Pitts. Hopefully he reengages because there's money on the line for him future with this organization beyond next season.
404-726-0929. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, guys. Come on through. We'd love to get a chance to hang out with you and see you. By the way, you see these holiday outfits these waitresses have on?
I love these holiday outfits.
You see these holiday outfits?
These holiday outfits are awesome. And I like it.
How would you describe them, Mike? Be careful.
Well, I mean, they're like Santa's little helpers.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yes.
That's a great way to describe it.
Emphasis on little.
Yeah, well.
Yes, there's not much left for the imagination.
Or
Santa Claus would say, ho, ho, ho.
I got to tell you, though, I'm guessing that
was well done, Mike.
Thank you.
The tip game, you notice I didn't even say anything. The tip game has gone up here. I'm assuming. By the way, if you do come, take care of your waitresses, your bartenders, guys. But the ladies are here at Twin Peaks, and we're having a good time. Food is great. Ice cold brew as well. And, of course, they have Hey Man L. All right. B-Mac's going to join us. We will get to the Daily Download as well as we talk about these playoff games. And we're going to dive in today. We'll give you our picks. We do have a game tonight. And, Mike, I woke up this morning, and the first thing I saw was snow. Notre Dame, good morning. And I'm like, oh, there's snow on the ground.
Right.
Listen, this is the part of this playoff that we envisioned. If you got to go north, you got to play a cold weather team. Now, Indiana's up there as well, but you don't know how this affects the game. Are we going to see a low scoring, you know, 14-10 kind of game because of the weather conditions?
I mean, it doesn't have to be Buffalo. We've seen ice cold, miserable temperatures in Kansas City, right, in January.
That's
but
right.
Buffalo, all those years with Marv Levy, the AFC would run through that funky weather in western New York. But this is one element that we've just never seen because it's always been the controlled environment of warm weather or indoor bowl games. So, yeah, I think, you know, the thing is, Indiana and Notre Dame is not the matchup I'd like to see. Clemson and Notre Dame, you know, SMU and Notre Dame. SMU's got their own road to hoe in Happy Valley where the temperatures will be just as cold against Penn State. But, yeah, this is – I mean, had Georgia had to go up to Notre Dame, whew, be glad you won the SEC championship. I still don't think – you know, we can all laugh and say, well, it gets cold in Georgia, but this is a different animal.
No, it totally is. I think that is a part of this equation that no matter, you know, what these coaches tell their kids, you don't know how they're going to respond in this weather.
And by the way, certain players, if you grow up with it or you're adapted to it, I'll never forget. I want to say it was 2005, maybe before. It was a Bears game, and we all went to Chicago, and it was like end of December. Urlacher's out there, it's like 10 degrees, no sleeves on, and literally Mike Vick and Roddy White, everyone's dressed up like Nanuka the North.
Yeah.
Because the old receiver corps, Jenkins, because it was just
cold.
We weren't used to that. We were clearly an indoor team in that element.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, you can fake it. I always say fake the funk as much as you want. There's no faking it. When you get out there, and if you've ever been around that, or a fan, guys, just because you're in the stands, you're like, man, it's cold out here. Don't think those guys on the field are not going, damn, it's cold out here. Mm-hmm. But they got no shirts on, to Mike's point. They're running the field and they're flexing. And you're like, it ain't cold out here. You can tell your mind that all you want. Mm. It still is in there, and it's messing with you a little bit. But, yeah, I'm curious to see what Indiana does tonight. They are a 7-point underdog. And then we'll talk about tomorrow's games. Three games before we find out who Georgia's playing and this thing moves forward. 404-726-0929. I do want to mention, and we'll talk more about it, guys, in the Daily Download. Hawks are real, man. I know they lost last night. Wimby is a legitimate elite superstar already in this league. But the Hawks, the way they're playing, Mike, this is not, you know, one night we're good, one night we're not. It's consistent. DeAndre Hunter, I don't even want to jinx it, is consistent right now.
How about, again, for you guys who didn't see the game, because I was going back and forth between, you know, the Chargers and Broncos, but DeAndre Hunter, I mean, we've challenged him. We've questioned his, you know, his work ethic, Carl, his dedication. When he flushed it on Wemby, and should have gotten a foul, too, by the way.
Should have.
I mean, they got the dual tees.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought that was nonsense, but, man, that was a moment. If we had made some free throws, and I thought Trey's shot selection was a little funky in regulation, but regardless, Carl, yes, we can hang with the elites. Wemby, though, I mean, that was a display last night. I mean, you haven't been watching Wemby because we don't watch as much West Coast or, you know, Western Conference. Unbelievable last night.
Yeah, I mean, they lose in overtime, but what I want you to understand as a Hawks fan or somebody that may be on the fringe and going, man, I hear you and Bell talking about these guys. This team's really good, and I'm saying that, like, not an NBA championship. I can't call that. But what I've seen over the last, and I'm just going back 3 or 4 weeks, what you're getting night in and night out, Dyson Daniels playing defense, D playing offense, Trey 15, 16 assists last night again, Mike. He leads the league.
Right.
I just feel like they're going to be competitive in every game, and it's going to come down to situations like last night. Again, Trey misses a free throw. He doesn't miss those, man. It was crazy. But I like the way this team is playing. They get back home. They got Memphis tomorrow night at State Farm Arena. And the bottom line for me is I was just wondering, like, is this going to fade? What we were seeing 2-3 weeks ago, okay, you beat the Cavs twice. Is that real? You beat the Celtics without Trey. It is.
No, that's a toughness. And, look, I mean, nobody matches up with Wemby. That's obvious. But, I mean, I still want to get some front court help before the trade deadline.
Sure.
Still lots of basketball to be played. But that was something. Yes, if you make that free throw, again, if you get – my beef is, yes, Wemby put on a display, but, man, that should have been a foul on Wemby. If Hunter hits that, we never make it to overtime.
I agree. Game's over.
Game's over.
Game's over.
And, not the way the refs saw it. And then in overtime, the refs swallowed their whistle.
Oh, they let – yeah, I mean, guys are getting mugged out there. Either way, Hawks, man, listen, I'm just going to tell you, try them. That's what I would tell you, and right. I think you're probably –
No, they passed the eye test.
Yeah.
You know, I know they're 500, but I just have a feeling, I think, especially – if Tony Ressler lets Landry Fields and these guys go out and augment this roster, and I think you've got to, because this is a team which I think you said it. You've beaten the Celtics. You've beaten the Cavs. You've hung with the elites.
Coming up, Brian McFadden. All things covered is his podcast. He's a CBS NFL analyst. He will join us next to talk about our Falcons, Penix, and more on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks. Kennesaw hanging out until 7 o'clock. Come on through. We got to talk some NFL with our man B-Mac, Brian McFadden. Two-time Super Bowl champion and, of course, NFL analyst for CBS Sports. B-Mac, we had talked about it. I don't think we thought it would happen because, again, the head coach had been so adamant about it not changing. But then we now know he didn't have a choice right after this last game. And I want to know what your initial thoughts were, the move to Penix for the Falcons. And then what are your expectations over the last 3 weeks?
You know what, my initial thoughts, I was a bit surprised, but then I wasn't. To your point, the offense did not look good against the Raiders. And we know all about the Raiders' problems, especially on the defensive side. And they did not have Max Crosby. The offense only scored one touchdown, which happened in the first quarter, the first drive, if I'm not mistaken. Outside of that, we didn't see anything. So you look at the offense, I mean, they basically survived against a very, very bad Raider team. And if you have any playoff hopes or any aspirations to get into the playoffs, and the only way the Atlanta Falcons will get into the playoffs is they got to win their division, you got to find a way to get more going. I mean, in the midst of that four-game losing streak, the offense was bad. And even though they won last week against the Raiders, they did not look good at all. So I felt like hearing the news, they went back, they dissected the film, and they realized – they need to make something happen to get the offense to be better. And, of course, when you do something like that, when you have that type of mindset, you got to go with you make a change at the quarterback. And now, when you look at Kirk Cousins currently compared to where Kirk Cousins was in the first month and a half of the season, something seemed to be a bit off. I don't know if he's healthy. I don't know if he's not healthy. But he over the last few weeks, guys, he didn't look like the guy that we watched in October football. And, you know, they felt like the coaches, the best opportunity for them to win ball games and make a legit case to get into the playoffs is starting Michael Penix.
We just said it didn't pass the eye test. Monday night, Bryant, it just looked so bad. You know, there were just things that you saw where it's like, wow, you're almost treating him like he's a rookie. It looked as bad. It almost looked as bad for Kirk Cousins, aside from that first touchdown drive, as it did for Desmond Ridder. So I think they every single chance. But now, what do we expect from Michael Penix Jr.?
I can tell you this much. Granted, you want to see Mike come in and just lay it out there. But let's keep it real. He's a rookie. He's going to go through growing pains because he's never been in this position before, right? Now, he's played a lot of football. But in the NFL, it's different. So for me, my expectation for Michael Penix, number one, they don't need you to win the ball game, Mike. Just make the routine plays happen routinely. Protect the football. And just become a playmaker when the opportunity presents itself. The good thing about this situation with Michael Penix, if you're going to make your first start, you want it to be against the Giants. Let's keep it real. I understand the NFL is very, very competitive. But at this point in the season, you know who you are as teams. And the Giants right now, they're a bad team. Now, if you're not careful, they can hit you in the jaw. But in terms of what we've seen from the Giants for the last few weeks, if you're going to make your first start happen, you want it to be at home, number one. But secondly, you would love to have your start come against a team that's clearly getting ready for the 2025 draft.
B-Mac, how does this energize the locker room? We talked to Caden Ellis yesterday. He said, look, I'm excited. I was trying to pick this guy off in camp.
Right.
He was dropping dimes and dots. I couldn't. And I've been impressed with the way the young man has played. I'm hoping he is going to be great for us. What does it do for the locker room?
it can actually bring the locker room together. Because the thing about being in the locker room, being on the roster, we know exactly before the public knows. You see what's going on. When we watch tape together, you can see if someone is out there letting it go, falling, or if a guy that's kind of barely getting through. So the players already knew that, but yet and still they had to support the player who was starting. Now the support goes to who? Michael Penix. And you're not just going to just disconnect yourself from Kirk Cousins. He's still a part of your team, and you might still need him at some point in time. But right now, it's our job to boost the morale of the new quarterback in Michael Penix. It's our job to build confidence in him. And to your point, yes, they're excited about this. The fans are excited. The city is excited because we all watch the same thing. We praised Kirk Cousins when he was balling, but then we also questioned Kirk Cousins when it wasn't looking the same. So until they gave him the leash, I mean, he had a long enough leash. Let's keep it real. Think about this, guys. The Falcons lost to the Chargers, and the Chargers only scored 10 points offensively.
Right.
That's, you're supposed to win those ball games, right? So it's not like I don't want to sit here and say Kirk Cousins didn't get a fair shake. I think he did. It just didn't work out like we thought it would work out. Now let's see what the young kid got, what he has in store. And also, too, you go from a quarterback who wasn't mobile to a quarterback who ran 4.58. You go from a quarterback who seemed like he wasn't throwing with confidence to a quarterback that's ready to go out and let it go. That should actually help the offense.
That's a great point, man. Two-time Super Bowl winner Bryant McFadden with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw and Dukes and Bell. And that's the thing, Bryant, because he was such a leader. That was the thing we got with Caden Ellis yesterday. It's like, as you said, he's not dead. He's still here. He's on the team. But he was such a focal point to everybody from Bijan Robinson to the guys on the defensive side. So you give him the benefit of the doubt, but you're right. I mean, Penix, we've seen this guy drop dimes. I mean, you've got no vertical passing attack. There's elements of this. Remember what they said about the Eagles? You can say the same thing about us the last few weeks.
Exactly. And to your point, when you played against the Atlanta Falcons, you knew certain things you weren't going to get from them. To your point, the ball was not going to be pushed down the football field. You were going to get a quarterback that was not trying to evade defenders, get out of the pocket. That makes our job easier. As being a former defender, if you're giving me a quarterback that can't move and does not want to move, those are the kind of quarterbacks we want to play against. Think about it like this, guys. It's a copycat league, right? Think about all the good teams that we watch week in and week out. They have quarterbacks that can move. They have quarterbacks that want to move. Look at the best teams in the National Football League in either side. The one outlier probably would be Jared Goff, but if you're telling me in terms of an athleticism contest, you would take Jared Goff over Kirk Cousins right now.
Yeah.
So the league is about having mobility at the quarterback position when need be. Michael Penix gives you that, right? And he gives you that the energy that you need to push the football down the football field. So, like Kirk Cousins, I feel like he got a fair shake. It just didn't work out, but this was the time to do it. Let's go ahead and see exactly what he can do. And I'll say this: going to Michael Penix right now, you're staying with him. There's no going back to Kirk Cousins now. It's his job, and let's go ahead and build around him.
B-Mac, let's shift gears. We got two games tomorrow. One has me wondering, what are they thinking? The other has me going, are they going to be able to win? The Ravens are decimated right now at wide receiver. They're at home against the Steelers. Steelers beat them a few weeks ago at their place, and everybody's talking about get back. Tell me what you think about this game. And then you've got T.J. Watt, that situation on the defensive side of football for the Steelers. What's happening?
Listen, I'm a bit concerned with this game, guys. You know, week in and week out, when we talk about my Steelers, I feel really, really good. But I'm a bit concerned, and here's why. You talked about the issues for the wide receiver position for the Ravens.
Yeah.
But we're going to be without GPS. George Pickens scored. That's his nickname I gave him, by the way, GPS. But we're going to be without George Pickens. He's our best playmaker. He is our only playmaker on offense. And you saw the lack of playmaking ability surface for the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Eagles last week. That offense is not the same when you don't have George Pickens in the lineup. Yeah, the defense for the Ravens might not be as good as the Eagles' defense is, but they're still more than a serviceable unit, especially when they're not seeing high-level personnel. So that's the concern, because to your point with the Ravens missing some pass catchers, Nelson Aguilar, they still got Mark Andrews. They still got Derrick Henry. They still got Lamar Jackson. They still got Zay Flowers. And just because of the playmaker that Lamar Jackson is, that's the thing about great quarterbacks. They make everybody else's job a little easier. because they're that playmaker on the football field. So I'm a bit concerned because you got to look at it like this. If the Pittsburgh Steelers happen to lose to the Baltimore Ravens, now they will be tied with the same win-loss record. The luxury for Pittsburgh, they will own the tiebreaker against the Ravens. But guess who Pittsburgh got Christmas Day? Kansas City.
Yeah. Oof.
And then after Kansas City, guess who Pittsburgh has the final week of the season? Cincinnati. And last time I checked, regardless if Cincinnati has something to play for or not, that's an offense you do not want to play right now. Especially now, their playoff hopes are still alive based on the Broncos losing last night. So this is a very, very important game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and hopefully they have better offense than what we did not see last week against the Eagles, because they're going to need it.
Right. But J.J. Watt banged up for the Steelers as well, B-Mac. And the thing is, Lamar Jackson, he's got to beat the Steelers. I mean, there's a Lamar – I mean, this isn't a media thing. Lamar Jackson can't beat the Steelers.
I hear you.
hey, Superman had kryptonite. We just didn't know what was in that kryptonite, but it always crippled Superman and made him more of a human being, more of a mortal, right? So Pittsburgh has been that kryptonite to Lamar Jackson and making him more of a mortal in terms of football. I'll say this, though. In terms of the MVP conversation, I don't know how you guys feel. I understand people are saying it's Josh Allen award to lose. I disagree. Now, that's another topic for another day. But I'll say this. If Lamar Jackson go out and ball against Pittsburgh, and most importantly, when they win, his name is right next to Josh Allen in the MVP conversation. He will either gain MVP traction in this ball game Saturday, or he will be all the way out of the running based on what he does, because he hasn't had success against Pittsburgh. Individually speaking, or as a team, they've had his number. So can he get over that hurdle? We have to wait and see. But I hope they have a bag of kryptonite for Lamar Jackson Saturday, because we're going to need it.
Texans Chiefs is the other game. Mahomes, you play him? Apparently he's cleared. He's ready to go. You play him? I don't play him.
Listen, I'm right there with you, Carl, Mike. I don't play Pat Mahomes because the Houston Texans, they do a great job in sacking quarterbacks. They're currently number two in the NFL in sacks as a whole throughout the season. But I'll say this. Let me reference the great American poet Lil Wayne. Even when a wolf cries, you still can see his teeth. Right? You know what that means?
Really?
Even when a wolf is very, very vulnerable and emotional and hurt, they're still deadly.
Right.
That's what he said, the great poet, American poet, Lil Wayne. And I love to reference Lil Wayne because he knows exactly what he's talking about. So what I'm saying is, even though Pat Mahomes is a bit banged up, even though he's dealing with some pain, he's uncomfortable, he still is showing his teeth. He still can bite you. And if you play around, he's going to make sure it's your last opportunity in that forest. You don't want to play around with a wolf that's crying. You don't want to do that. And we've seen this before, guys, right or wrong. Like 2 years ago when he had a bum ankle in the playoffs.
True.
All he did was just orchestrate his team throughout that playoff run to win a Super Bowl. So this is actually, it's kind of weird because it seems like when he's dealing with an ailment, he's better.
Right.
He plays
Find
better
something.
Football.
Right.
Yeah, it's something about him. He goes into a whole nother mindset where he goes into another area of greatness, and that's who Pat Mahomes is. So me personally, I'm right there with you guys. I would not play him, but they're playing him. He's not even on the injury report. Think about that. Bro, you just sprained your ankle not even a week ago. How are you not even on the injury report? I'm trying to tell you, that wolf is crying, but they're still showing his teeth. Don't get close to that wolf.
Hey, man, real quick, we got a minute left, so we'll go rapid fire. Have the Eagles now come out the other end? They've gotten through their soap opera. They're on. They look like one of the best teams in the league right now. And the Lions, with that front seven so banged up, you feel the Lions now maybe don't make it to the Super Bowl?
The Lions need to be concerned because those injuries will surface. We saw it surface against a really good team. Unfortunately, the next man up mentality only can go so far. You're missing too many key contributors on that defense. It puts more pressure on the offense. I don't know if they can sustain that type of success throughout a postseason run. In terms of the Eagles, yes, they're the best team in the NFC. They go through this little soap opera issue once a year, it seems like, but they always come out on the better side of things. This is an intriguing game for them against the Commanders, but I like what Philly is doing. Jalen Hurts is a guy who's not getting the praise I think he's deserving of getting. He's done a great job along with Saquon Barkley. They're playing some inspired football right now.
We need, ironically, the Cowboys to beat the Bucks. It's a Sunday night game. What chance do you give them with what you've seen with the Bucks and how they've turned their season around after all those major injuries?
I wouldn't bet your house on it. I wouldn't bet your house on it, Carl. Because let's keep it real. Tampa, they're playing some real good football right now. And that Baker Mayfield, ooh, boy. Oh, you talking about somewhere he out there cutting the rug, like my uncle say? When Baker get on that field, boy, he cutting the rug. He is not playing around. He's having fun. He's the ultimate leader. And their team are playing. They're playing the best football in the more critical moments of the season. I'm not saying that Cooper Rush can't beat Tampa. I'm not saying that. We know that. Anything can happen. But in terms of how do I actually think it can happen? No, I got to ride with Tampa right now, man. They're playing some really, really good football, and their quarterback has been unbelievable.
Facts. B-Mac, appreciate you, man. As always, hey, Merry Christmas to you and your family and the beautiful girls, man. And
yeah,
we will talk to you next week as some of this stuff shakes out. But I'm excited. You are. I know everybody is about seeing Michael Penix. So we'll talk about it next week, man. What's up?
Real quick, I did a bold prediction this week. My bold prediction consists of Michael Penix. Number one, my bold prediction was he's going to wear a red do-rag under his helmet. So let's monitor that, the red do-rag. Right? Okay. Secondly, my bold prediction was 300 yards of total offense, 4 total touchdowns.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm with that.
I like that kind of party.
Yeah. Look, I'm with that. If he does that, we're going to be ecstatic, okay? We're going to be out of control.
Y'all know, man. We got our group text. Just text my phone and say, Mac, you said it. Go play the lottery now.
Right on.
Hey, man, have a good weekend, brother. We appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
That's Brian McFadden. Interesting stuff there. He's right about the Bucks. I mean, like, this is why you got to take care of your business, you know? And now here we are. We still can win out, but you're kind of wishing and hoping some of these teams do your work. You already beat these guys, and you couldn't hold up.
That's the game. The Chargers game is the one to me that's where you really – that was a red flag. You couldn't get anything out of Cousins in that game.
Coming up, guys, Daily Download. We will let you hear from Michael Penix. Also, we will talk college football as the CFP playoffs begin. It's all coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It took the over last night, huh? Chargers scoring points, Broncos scoring points. I was like,
What a fun game, too. And, you know, we hate Sean Payton.
Yes.
And it looked like they were going to run away with it because Herbert throws that pick. So then Chargers got out of sequence as far as scores for score. And they came back like a house of fire. And I know you and I have debated back in the old days when Squidbilly was producing, Bo Morgan here on the morning shift, about what Justin Herbert is or isn't. But one of the things that has not happened in his career are those defining, gritty, come-from-behind victories.
True.
And that was one last night that he got. Harbaugh talked about it. And he was making plays. And he's not 100%. His ankle, it looked like he had two ankles on one leg. He was so taped up.
It's crazy, Mike, because they went for two at one point in this game, and, you know, they ran a quarterback draw. And I'm like, you're running a quarterback draw with your ankle, with your quarterback's ankle hurting?
He's got, like, two phone books taped to his ankle.
They were down 21-6, they outscored Denver 21-6 in the second half. But the Chargers, man, and we saw them. I mean, listen, they were limited against us, which is why it was so frustrating we weren't able to beat them. But 9-6 now on the season. And say what you want about Harbaugh, man. This is the kind of games good coaches find a way to win.
That's why I was loving the idea of Harbaugh coming here because it was so outside the box. And, again, we'll see what happens with Rod in year one and beyond. But, yeah, love him or hate him, you know, because he's as idiosyncratic as any coach has ever coached in the NFL. But, yeah, he gets the most out of his guys. Backup, running back. When Gus Edwards wasn't in there. How about Ladd McConkey? I mean, just does it every single week.
He's big, man.
Just unbelievable.
Nobody outside of maybe dog fans, and I don't even know if dog fans knew he'd be this good in the NFL, would have said, oh, yeah, that little dude right there, he's going to tear the NFL up.
I think some people thought like the ceiling would be like Hunter Renfrow.
Correct.
But not the Pat. Well, this guy looks
he's
like a guy.
Better.
He looks like a guy who's going to belong for like a decade.
He's better, Mike. And by the way, Herbert rushed for 40 yards last night. He was dropping dots and dimes all over the field. The numbers weren't like, oh, he had 450 yards. But it was the moments in which he hit those plays, 23 of 30. 284, two touchdowns. I just thought he played big last night.
Now, the other thing last night, and it was funny because Al Michaels was pretty good. Now, Al was on his game last night.
He was.
No, Herb Street still sucks doing pro football. But anyway, but last night, Al was joking around about that fair catch and then the interference with the punt, and then you get the free field goal, which no one has seen. And then Dan Fouts calls in to the truck to say, yes, it happened in 76. Ray Worthing was the kicker for the Chargers.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that wild? Yeah, that was, and everybody was kind of going bananas on that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a field goal, but just a circumstance.
Well, yeah, the circumstance. But you could watch, and most of you have, football every week all your life.
And we've never
you'll never see that again.
Right.
I mean, like, so it was crazy. Chargers find a way to win. We got a lot more to get to. NFL Blitz is on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
It's Michael Penix getting his first start on Sunday against the Giants. Listen, I wouldn't expect him to say anything less about Kirk Cousins, how he's been supportive, what he's helped him try to pick up. And now, Mike, it's his opportunity to show us all of that. Here's Penix talking about Kirk.
Yeah, from Kirk, you know, man, a lot. Like, Kirk, just the way he processed, the way he speaks to the team, you know, in meetings, on the field, you know, just the command he has, you know, to the offense, you know, getting things the way that he wanted so that, you know, he could play fast. And, you know, it's just the things he said in the huddle, you know, I was in the huddle today and walked through and, like, just remember some of the stuff he did and just saying it the way he said it, you know, because, like, man, I look up to Kirk, you know, and, like, Kirk, like, to be honest, Kirk couldn't do no wrong in my eyes. So it was like, dang, like, dude, like, when I saw him in camp, you know, leading all the way up through the season, it's like, dude, like, he's special. Like, he's doing that at this age, and he did a great job, you know. And I'm talking about getting through his progressions, making a pass to the fifth read, our fifth read. Like, you don't see that a lot, you know, scoring touchdowns and doing stuff like that. It's like, dang, how is he processing the game so quickly to get to that fifth read, to make that play, you know. You're just trying to learn stuff like that, and just seeing how he canceled out certain routes and stuff like that based on coverages. You know, I feel like I learned a lot of that, and, you know, I'm ready to showcase.
I know you and I spent all week talking about why things went the way they did. The best I can lay out, I'll say it one more time, is knowing that when things are starting to get south, it's one thing if the Falcons had drafted a quarterback in the fourth round. But when you've got a guy that was selected eighth overall that half the city is really interested in, I know I was from the moment I said one or the other, you think that just added to the pressure that just created this thing? Kirk won't admit it or address it, but you think that's what it's about? The fact that I'm struggling, I'm in a slump, and oh, by the way, I've got the young, hot stud over here waiting in the wings, which just amps things up even more.
Mike, I don't know. I'll say this. We remember when we drafted Penix and it came out that Kirk was unaware that they were going to do that, right?
And the reaction at the draft party was he was generally not happy.
Correct. And then, you know, everything got smooth over, but going back, remember, that was kind of in the forefront there where he was like, wait a minute, yeah, I thought I was the guy. I don't know. I can't say that was one of the reasons or maybe the main cause as to his demise, his play. But I will tell you, if you knew somebody could come take your job and was sitting next to you every day,
right.
It might be a little bit extra on you when you're starting to struggle.
Well,
so
how about anybody out there who's listening right now, whether you're at the bar, you're in sales right now, you're in your car? There's a guy who can do the same job for half the price or 75% less. You know, I mean, I get it. We still are tied to a contract. There's guaranteed money involved. But there's all these elements. Again, I know we're kind of maybe reaching for straws here because nobody around the league, even people that we've talked about that covered this guy, could ever seen a kind of run that he's just gone through.
Not at all. Big O, let's get to story number two if we can.
Story number two.
It's our Atlanta Hawks, guys. They lose 133-126. D. Hunter. Keep doing whatever it is you're doing, bro. I mean, look, I've been on you. You know it. I put it out there. 27 points, 6 rebounds, 9 of 15 shooting, Mike. Made all his free throws and hit half of his three-point shots. 4 for 8 from three-point land. But it was the dunk on Wimby last night that ties the game at 120 that everybody's talking about around the league.
Now he bounces it into Larry Nance. Larry hands it off to DeAndre Hunter. He goes right to the basket and jams! And he got fouled, but they didn't call it. He got knocked down. Yeah. They didn't call the foul. They didn't call it, but we're tied at 120 right now.
And they go to the tape, and it's matching text because they're staring each other down because Wemby just got posterized in front of everybody. I just thought, you know, you said it. I'll never understand. I'll never understand what the first four and a half years of DeAndre Hunter was here. But this is just a guy who looks like a badass. And let's be honest, that was huge last night. To flush it on Wemby should have been a foul. He makes that game over. We don't even get to overtime. I didn't like Trey shooting that big three.
I didn't either.
I did not like that. Either. Shot selection was a bit off.
I agree, Mike. Wimby, by the way, Victor Wembanyama, 42.6 rebounds. He hit big shot after big shot every time they needed one.
The dunk where he throws it off the glass, crazy. Where he was going to throw it to the other forward, but he was in traffic, so he just throws it off the glass. I mean, you're seeing stuff, it's like something you're seeing in an All-Star game.
Well, he's so skilled to be 7'5". That's the thing. Like, we've seen I saw Yao Ming, Mike.
Right.
He couldn't do this. Like, this is a different level of ball handling and shooting. Trae Young, by the way, 23 points, 16 assists last night. He continues to lead the league there. Hawks back in action tomorrow. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
It's college football playoffs, guys. It begins tonight. Who you like, by the way? Notre Dame is favored by 7 against Indiana.
Oof.
And the Dogs will get the winner of this game tonight.
I mean, Indiana wants to throw. In the snow, you could argue the offense has the advantage because defenders have to make adjustments and whoop, slipping and sliding. So that's why Buffalo was always so good. You know, we just talked about playing in bad weather in the old days. I guess I'll give Indiana a chance to cover. Notre Dame, if it becomes a high-scoring game, that's not the game they want to play. They want to run the football, play great D.
I like Notre Dame. I do like them to
cover.
You think
they just cover easy?
I'm not going to say it'll be easy. I think it's going to be like Ohio State. It'll be a game in the first half, and then Notre Dame, I think, is more talented. Their defense is solid, man.
So Indiana hangs for a half, and then the depth just shows up.
I think that's how this is going to play out. But maybe Indiana shocks us. By the way, the big news here with Georgia is Carson Beck is exploring surgery options to repair the injury to his elbow. He is more than likely. Everybody's pointing the finger and saying, hey, he's probably not playing. Nobody's saying 100%, but when these reports come out, Mike, you know if you're exploring that option, there's no way over the next 3 weeks that he's going to be playing quarterback for Georgia.
Talking to Rusty Manziel and talking to friends of ours out in Athens, it just sounds like that is a done deal, and maybe it's just a little bit of window dressing to perhaps keep whoever your opponent is. Like, Carson Beck's going to do what? I mean, come on, what? He's going to, wait a minute, it's Willis Reed's. I don't think Carson Beck's going to do that. He can't move his arm. I just think the biggest concern for Carson Beck is how do I market myself for the draft? And if I can't do that,
got to come back.
And then, but what happens, as we said earlier to start the show, what if Gunner balls out? You know, what if Gunner takes it to a whole other place? You know, and Kirby's like, adios. Hey, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either. Gunner Stockton is expected to make the start. Obviously, we knew that coming out of the SEC championship game. But now I think you can literally say, the next 3 weeks is your time to shine and take us to a national championship. I don't know if Gunner Stockton can. But we're going to see if he is able to do that. Hey, coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks, guys. Also, we're going to talk about what's going on with this Giants pass defense and how they attempt to come after Michael Penix, because that is a concern as we head into his first start on Sunday. It's Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.